You can have a seat. Grab your Bibles and go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll launch out from there. And I've entitled the message tonight, The Dwelling Place. Now, when I say the dwelling place, what I mean is a place where something lives, where something resides, where something stays. We know that we are, as Christians, a dwelling place. When we were born again, when we got saved, we received the Spirit of God. The one who Jesus said was the promise of the Father, he said, I give you the Spirit of God now to live on the inside of you, and you are now the temple of God. We're going to see this in a moment. We are a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. God lives now on the inside of us. God had promised, he said, I will make my tabernacle, my dwelling with men. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I had you turn there. We're going to take a look at verse number 16, and in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So these are some things that we ought to know. We ought to know that we are the temple of God. We ought to know that God lives on the inside of each and every one of us. We ought to know that in our hearts now lives the Holy Spirit. And where we once had just fears and frustrations, worries, anxieties, built up knowledge and different things that were there. Now the Holy Spirit lives on the inside, but those other things often go either unattended or they're allowed to stay. Very important what we allow to live on the inside of us, what we allow to dwell on the inside of us. Because after we receive the Spirit, we're also supposed to continually set our hearts and set our minds, the Bible says, on things above. See, this is not something that automatically happens. I wish when I got saved, I just had the dial just turned to heaven and then it never went off. But how many of you can relate to this? After you got saved, you had maybe this great experience. Your heart was on fire. The birds were chirping. The air was sparkling clean. You felt like you were floating or walking on the clouds. And then after a little while, life happened. Maybe there was a problem that came up. Maybe there was some frustration. Maybe there were some fears. Maybe you encountered some old friends or family members, got into an argument. Husband or wife came at you with something. Financial pressures and stresses and strains came on you. Things happened on the job. You see, and all those things take that dial that was set to heaven before. We had the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, but all of a sudden all these other things start to come in and start to distract and start to deter us from the things that we should be dwelling on. As Christians, we ought to be able to say, I'm going to set my heart and my mind on some things. I'm going to choose today where my mind goes, where my attention goes, what I set my interest on, how much I put in, and what I get out of it. You see, if we're going to live this life as a Christian, we're going to live it in Him. Otherwise, we're not going to live it at all. Because life outside of Christ is not life at all. Jesus is the life. And so tonight, I want to talk about what we dwell on as Christians. These can work in the positive, but also they can work in the negative sense, and we'll discuss some of that tonight as we go. But what we dwell on does a couple of things in our lives. As we go through the night, we're going to complete this statement, what we dwell on. And I believe that as we take a look at areas in our lives and find out what it is that God would have us to dwell on, that as you go out of this place and go into your life, your community, your family, your job, your school, whatever it is that you're going to out of this place tonight, that you're going to see what you dwell on, you're going to see the effects of it, and it's going to produce some good things in your life. Are you ready tonight?
Yeah.
All right, I'm glad that three of you are. Tonight, what we dwell on, a couple of things we're going to take a look at. Number one, what we dwell on dwells on us. Let me say that again. I know it sounds simple, but it's actually very profound. What we dwell on dwells on us. Whatever we dwell on will dwell on us. If I dwell on problems, problems are going to dwell on me. If I dwell on climbing the ladder of success, that ladder of success is going to dwell on me. If I dwell on my family's going to dwell on me. See, some of these things can work in the positive as well as the negative. How about this one? If I dwell on God, God dwells on me. You see, whatever we dwell on will dwell on us. The more you dwell on money, the more money's going to dwell on you. The more you dwell on anger, the more anger's going to dwell on you. The more you dwell on God, the more God dwells on you. That's why the Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's why Jesus said in John 15:4, the first part, abide in me and I in you. See, we can choose what we dwell on. We can choose where our attention and our interest and our involvement goes. I applaud you guys for being here tonight on a Sunday night. You see, many churches are shutting their doors on Sunday nights because attendance is waning. Because people are setting their minds on, oh, I got to get ready for work, and I got to get ready, got to get the kids ready for school, and I got to get all this other stuff, and it's too late, and why go to church more than one time a week, and I can do so much more. I could listen to Christian music or radio or TV and get the same thing. And yet, we don't understand that what you dwell on will dwell on you. This morning, Pastor Jim made a profound statement that just caught my attention. He said, when I got off myself and got on God, I found out that God got on me. And the principle is true. When you get out of yourself and you get on God, all of a sudden, God gets all over you. The more interest, the more attention, the more respect you give to God, the more time that you give to God, the more involvement you give to God, the more God gives you interest and attention and respect and involvement in your life. Sometimes we're crying out, God, where are you? And God says, where are you? And even though God knows the answer to that question, he's asking it for our benefit. He's wanting us to get our alignment, get our eyes on him, get our focus, get our attention, get our dwelling in him. You're there in 1 Corinthians. Turn back to the Gospel of Matthew, first book in the New Testament, Matthew. We're going to take a look at Matthew chapter number 6. Talking about what we dwell on dwells on us. Matthew chapter 6, two little verses that have a big impact in our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 22 and 23. Jesus is speaking and he says these words in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 22. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Now stop right there for a moment. I want you to picture your body, okay? Picture the outline, maybe, you know, the bathroom door sign. Okay, there you are. Okay, now inside of you is your heart. The lamp of the body is the eye. See, we don't see with our natural eyes, we see with our hearts. Okay, so whatever is dwelling on the inside of you is going to illuminate your life. Okay, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. It's almost like this. You picture that same person standing there, and you see that eye, that lamp on the inside of you, and it's almost like somebody just took the chain and flipped it on. If it's good, it lights up the whole body. Take a look at verse 23, though. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What is he saying? He's saying if you pull that chain, and the bulb does not come on, it's not a good bulb. If your eye is bad, then it's going to be darkness. See, there's nothing going on. Whatever you dwell on, whatever you give interest and attention to will dwell on you. So if you're giving the things of God attention, if you're giving the word attention, if you're giving prayer attention, if you're giving good works attention, giving doing what God has called you to do, obedience, and walking in line with what God would have you to do. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, what is good? Well, good is what God says. And if the lamp of your body is good, your whole body will be full of light. That's why Jesus says you are the light of the world. No one hides their light under a bushel. No one puts it underneath the bed. Why? They pull it out in plain view for everyone to see. See, so as we dwell on the things of God, as we give our interest and our attention to God and dwell on him, then on the inside of us, whenever that comes time to take a look around and see what's going on the inside, what's dwelling on the inside of us, you pull that chain or you flip that switch and the light comes on. But in the negative sense as well, if you've been dwelling on the world, you've been dwelling on problems, you've been dwelling on pressures, been dwelling on the dirt, maybe you've been dwelling on what's on television or on the internet, maybe you've been dwelling on gossip or something that the opinions and ideas of other people, then when it comes time to find out what's on the inside of you, you're going to flip that switch and the filament of that lamp inside of your body is going to fizzle out. and it's just going to be dark. See, without God, our lives are dark. There's no vision. There's no direction. There's no way through. But when we dwell on the things of God, all of a sudden we can see. All of a sudden we can go where we need to go. Why? Because we can see the path. We can do what we need to do because we can have a good understanding. Why? Because it is now in the light. Number one, what we dwell on dwells on us. Second thing tonight is what we dwell on delivers fruit. What we dwell on delivers fruit. I could have said produces, but I decided that each one of our numbered things that we're going to take a look at tonight will start with the letter D, because dwell starts with D. Does that make sense? Good. Did to me too. What we dwell on delivers fruit. Listen, what we dwell on doesn't just stay on the inside of us. Just like that light is going to pour forth from you, okay? It will shine to other people. What we dwell on is going to produce something outside of us. There will be expressions of what we dwell on in our lives. If you got a person that dwells on golf, start talking to them about their life. What do you like to do? Well, I like to golf, right? It'll just naturally pour out of them. People that, you know, are crazy about, going and watching basketball. You know, you start talking to them and it will pour out of their life. They might even buy a jersey. This morning, I believe I saw some people in football jerseys coming to church. Why? Because that's some of the things that they've been dwelling on, and now it has produced something. It's delivered something to their lives. It showed up. It appeared. And just like a fruit tree, there is something that's going to come out of that tree naturally by what it dwells in. As it pulls nutrients and water from the soil, the expression of that tree is going to be the fruit that it produces. In the same way, you and I, you can tell where people are at by what is produced in their lives. Is that not true? Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit, right? What happened to the disciples? Here they are, they're preaching the gospel, they're standing up boldly, and all the people know these men were with Jesus, right? They lived with Jesus, they stayed with Jesus, they dwelt with Jesus, and now it's expressing itself in their lives. When Peter got up and he preached his great sermon, and all the men and women of God were out there prophesying and speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost, the people think they're drunk, they think they're crazy, and what does Peter do? He says, hey everybody, this is what was prophesied, that the Spirit of God would be poured out on all flesh. What was he saying? He's saying, now the Spirit of God dwells in and upon us, and you're seeing the expression, the fruit. It's been delivered to you today. In the same way, you and I, whatever we dwell on, whatever's going on the inside of us is going to be produced in our lives. Listen, you're going to have opportunities. Tomorrow morning when you go to church and your coworker sits down next to you and says, hey, what did you do this weekend? What you've dwelled on most this weekend is going to come right out of you. Some of you will say church. Some of you will say I caught the game. Some of you will say I hung out with my family. Whatever it is that you dwelt on the most is going to come out of you. Just like a tube of toothpaste. If you squeeze that tube, what comes out? Toothpaste, hopefully. But if we squeeze a Christian, Jesus should come out, right? Amen. Amen. Eventually, it's going to express itself in some form or another in your life. You're there in Matthew 6. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We looked at this last week in regards to our words and in regards to gossip, but I want to take a look at it in a new light. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 33, we'll read through the verse number 35. Matthew 12, 33, Jesus is speaking again. Take a look at what he says. Matthew 12, 33 through 35, Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. All throughout the Bible, you'll find that men and women are likened unto trees. You and I are likened unto trees. National Israel was either a fig tree or an olive tree, right? And we were grafted into that tree. See, we are trees. And Jesus is saying something here. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Why? For a tree is known by its fruit. You're going to be known as a Christian, or you're going to be known as a hypocrite by what comes out of your life. Let me say that again. You're going to be known either as a Christian or as a hypocrite by what comes out of your life. Why? Because either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad. Don't call it something that it's not. If it's producing apples, don't call it an orange tree. Either make the tree good and its fruit good. Either be a Christian, stand up, do what it is you've called to do, and dwell on Jesus Christ, on His Word. Think about these things, man. Live, stay, and dwell in the Spirit of God, and allow that to be produced in your life, or else make the tree bad. Quit playing. That's really what He's talking about here. Verse number 34, Jesus gets expressive, to say the least. He says, "Brood of vipers!" Can you imagine people listening to Jesus? Here's this guy who's calling himself the Son of God, and now all of a sudden he's calling them a brood of vipers? My goodness, Jesus was in their face. "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Whatever you got going on the inside of you is what's going to come out of you. When you squeeze a Christian, whatever they've been putting in is going to come out. Look at verse number 35. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." I heard a minister one time talking about how he was in Hawaii on a vacation. And he had taken some time off and was just up early because, you know, the time difference. And so here he was walking on the beach, and he encountered a man, and the man struck up conversation with him, and they were talking. And here they were talking, and the man, just throughout their conversation, was using filthy language and this and that. And so this minister was looking for a way to, you know, share Jesus with this guy. And as they're talking, and he starts to, you know, be looking for a way in. And so he decides, "Well, I'm going to ask this guy, you know, what are you doing here in Hawaii? You know, are you on vacation?" And that sort of thing. "Oh, yeah, I'm here with my family and this and that." And okay. And he says, and what do you do?" And so he found out he's a businessman, and he's got some different things going on. And so, you know, they're just taking a break, and they're there. And he says, "What do you do?" And he says, "Well, I'm a minister." And all of a sudden, "Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you, my brother." But see, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. See, as Christians, the more we fill ourselves up with God, the more God is going to come out of us. The more we fill ourselves up with the goodness of God and the ways of God and the Word of God, that's what's going to come out of us. I was talking to a brother today in the foyer, and he was going to go share Christ with somebody who's been given a diagnosis of just 2 months to live. And he said, "I'm worried because I don't know where he's at with God, and I want to make sure he doesn't go to hell. And I'm afraid he couldn't come to church today because he felt so weak." And I said, "Man, then you need to go share Jesus with him." He says, "I don't know that I can." I said, "Well, listen, you've been filled up with the things of God, and it's amazing when you get to him, if you're filled with the Spirit and you've got the Word of God on the inside of you, you won't even know what you're saying. It will just start to pour forth from you. It'll start to come out of you, and you're going to have just the right thing to say." See, church, oftentimes we worry too much about what we're going to say, what we're going to do. Listen, just keep filling up on Jesus, and he's going to come out of you. Colossians chapter 3, you're there in Matthew. Turn back to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, great verse. Right after the book of Philippians, you'll find Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. Colossians 3:16, it says this. It says, "Let." Everybody say, "Let." "Let." That means it's a choice. That means that you have the opportunity to do this or to deny this. You can let it happen or you cannot let it happen. It's your call. It's your choice. "Let." Let what? "Let the word of Christ" do what? "Dwell." Live. Come on the inside of you. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." See, that doesn't mean just get a little bit, a little dabble do you, once a week, man. Maybe if I've got time, oh, I'll show up Christmas and Easter. No, that's not what this is about. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." What does that mean? That means that you're pouring it in. You're getting as much of it as you can. Man, you wake up in the morning, you're getting a verse. You throughout the afternoon, you're reminding yourself of these things. You're talking to people about it. You're getting filled up with it. You're listening to the Christian music. You're listening to Christian radio. People say, well, I don't like the Christian music. It's not as good as the worldly music. Give me a break. Oh, I just listened to the beats, Pastor. Yeah, you're going to get beat by it. Because what you dwell on will dwell on you. Sorry. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. There's the fruit. Teaching, there's the fruit. And admonishing one another, there's the fruit. Talking to people. Hey, encouraging somebody. Telling somebody about Jesus. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Not worldly songs. Spiritual songs. Look at this. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's the fruit. See, you can tell when people are filled with the word. You can tell when people have got a hold of God and they're not ashamed. Man, you can tell when people have been filled up. Why? Because they're doing something. They've got wisdom. They've got the wisdom of God on them. They could teach you. They could tell you something about Jesus. Maybe they've never been educated. Maybe they've never gone to seminary. Maybe they've never had any formal education. But man, they can tell you something about Jesus. They can teach you. Sit down, son. Sit down, daughter. Man, let's learn something about God here. And admonishing one another. What is that? That means speaking to each other. Telling somebody. Encouraging somebody. Going after somebody. One another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts. Man, it doesn't matter if you can't sing out loud. Doesn't matter if you can't play the radio. God's concerned with your heart, what you're dwelling on. And you make melody in your hearts to the Lord. Tonight, a couple of things, what we dwell on. Number one, will dwell on us. Second thing, what we dwell on delivers fruit. Final thing for tonight. You guys ready?
Yes.
All right, there was a couple more of you that time. That's good. What we dwell on determines our victories. What you dwell on can defeat you. If you choose to dwell on the past, it's going to defeat you. It's going to hold you captive. And it will literally tie your hands and you will be unable to be victorious in your life. That's the negative sense. But in the positive sense, what you dwell on can determine your victory. It can encourage you. It can inspire you. What you dwell on will produce fruit that will bring victory in your life. Why? Because if you dwell on the victory of Jesus Christ, because if you dwell on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for you, then it doesn't matter what happened in your past. You've got the victory already. Doesn't matter what the devil brings up. You've got the victory already. Doesn't matter what problems or pressures or trials or tribulations come against you. Why? Because you've got the victory where? In Him. And as you dwell on the Word of God, it will equip you with the wisdom of God that we just saw to be able to live a life that's pleasing to God. And that's victorious in every area of your life. Let's take a look at it in the Word. 1 John, kind of towards the back of the Bible, if you hit Revelation or maps, turn around. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse number 14. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, it says, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you. Another word for abides is dwells. And look at this. And you have overcome the wicked one. Now, I want you to notice that there was a progression there. The first one is I've written to you, fathers. Why? Because you have known Him who is from the beginning. See, the people that are mature, that are fathers, know the Father's heart, Father God. And then he says, I've written to you, young men, because you are strong. But he doesn't just say you're strong and you overcame the wicked one like they did it in their own power. No, he says, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you. So we who have the knowledge of God in the Father's heart and have the living Word of God dwelling on the inside of us now have what? And have overcome the wicked one. See, when we get a hold of who we are in Christ Jesus and what Jesus has done for us on the cross and where He is at currently in His ministry as high priest over the house of God, when you understand that Jesus is on your side and that you're on His side, and you dwell on Him, and you dwell in Him, and now He dwells in you and on you, you realize that you are walking and living out a victorious life in Christ Jesus. It's a revelation to some of us. But we got to understand that we are not looking forward just to victory, because Jesus will, yes, come again. And all of His enemies will be made His footstool. But no, we are also looking from victory at the cross. Don't dwell on the failures of others. Don't dwell on the failures of your past. It's going to lock you up and keep you in defeat. Oftentimes people are afraid to move out of their prison cell because they feel like they deserve it because of how bad that they were, or how bad other people tell them that they are, or how messed up they made things. But listen, God is not wanting you to dwell on those failures, not wanting you to dwell on the past. God is wanting you to realize that because of who Jesus is, that you have the blood-bought right to be a child of God, to be released of your chains, and to walk out of that prison cell and live a victorious life in Christ Jesus. I'm glad there's a couple of amens in here. Dwelling on the victory of Jesus will determine our victories in life. Philippians chapter 4, let's close with this. Philippians chapter number 4. And I'm going to read it to you, but I'll also put it up on the overhead in the New American Standard Bible. Philippians chapter number 4. We're going to take a look at verse number 6 through verse number 8. Philippians 4, chapter 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing." What does that mean? That means don't worry about it. You're going to go through life. Tonight, you're going to go home. There's going to be things facing you at home. Tomorrow, you're going to wake up. There's going to be things facing you when you wake up. Monday morning, job, pressures, getting the kids to school, taking care of family, taking care of relationships. There's going to be bills that come. Tuesday's the 15th. Payday, what do we do? How do we steward? What are we doing with our lives? There are things that are going to be facing you, but the Bible tells us don't worry about it, don't fret, be anxious for nothing. Thanksgiving is coming up. You're going to be with family and friends, or on the opposite side of that, you're going to be alone. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. Be anxious for nothing. But look at this, but in everything. Everybody say, but in everything. Oh, come on, play with me tonight. You guys are mighty quiet in this church, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So what is God saying? God is saying, I want you to bring everything to me. I want you to bring it with a heart of gratitude, with thanksgiving. I want you to make your requests be made known to me. I want your child to come to me. I want you to dwell in me, live with me, stay with me. I want you to wrap yourself around me. And look at what he says in verse number 7. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, or some translations say understanding, look at this, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now listen, if you were in a battle and you were in a war, you could have only so much victory by yourself. But if you're in a battle and you're in a war and you're going out and you're facing the enemy and you have somebody guarding you, you're going to have a whole lot more victory. Is that right? So what is he saying? He says that the peace of God, as you bring your petitions to God, and as you don't worry about anything, but here you are with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds, where? In Christ Jesus. When you dwell in Christ Jesus, the peace of God will just cover you, protect you. You're going to have a lot more victory. Now take a look at the next verse, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellent and if anything worthy of praise, look at what he says, dwell on these things. Many times we have no peace And we have no victory because we're dwelling on the opposite of all those statements we just read. We're not dwelling on the truth, we're dwelling on a lie. We're not dwelling on what's honorable, we're dwelling on what's dishonorable. We were wrong. That was dirty. I can't believe that they would do that. They backstabbed. Those dirty people, I can't believe them. And all of a sudden we get ourselves out of the blessings of God, and now all of a sudden we have lost the battle. We don't dwell on what's right, we dwell on what's wrong. What's wrong with the world, politics and education and California and the government and my neighbors and what's going on here and what's going on there and on the job and in the school systems and I can't, we dwell on everything that's wrong. We dwell on things that are not pure. Man, there is a plague going on in our society. People are spending more on pornography than even the NFL ticket sales. Then Vegas brings in for their concerts. There is a literal pandemic in the United States of America. People are dwelling on things that are impure, and it's causing them to lose the battle. Whatever is lovely, we dwell on unlovely things. We think about things that are unlovely. Ask any woman what they see when they look in the mirror, and they're going to tell you all their flaws. Most of the men will do the same. Sometimes you'll get a man that just is into himself. Just sometimes. Whatever is of good repute or good report. You know, sometimes we dwell more on the bad report than we do on the report of the Lord. But God says, whose report will you believe? Are you going to believe the doctor's report or are you going to believe the report of the Lord? Yeah, there may be some facts in your life. There might be some health issues in your life. But listen, God says, by his stripes you were healed. Whose report are you going to dwell on? Whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to put faith in and trust in? Whose report are you going to invest your time and your effort and your energy in? Now, I'm not telling you don't listen to doctors. Listen to them. But also, have your ear attentive and dwell on the things of God. Find the healing scriptures. Find out the report. Man, sometimes we get a report, you're going to lose your house. And we start to dwell on that report, and we lose the victory rather than dwelling on what God says, that we are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. That we will prosper in all the things that we put our hand to. See, we got to dwell on the things of God. And listen, it doesn't matter if I lose that house. I don't care about that. God has prosperity and blessing for me in my life. I am the diligent, and the diligent hand shall rule, the Bible says. See, we've got to change our mode of thinking and stop dwelling on things that are of a bad report. He says, if there's any excellence in anything worthy of praise. Many times the stories that we tell and that we repeat aren't worthy of repeating. When you're with your families, it's going to be easy to dwell on the lies. It's going to be easy to dwell on what's dishonorable, how you've been wronged. It's going to be easy to dwell on impure things that have happened in the past, things that are unlovely, things that are of a bad report, things that aren't worth repeating. But listen, as you go into your life, as you face your job, your families, as you face your future, let's choose to dwell on whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is of a good report, and the excellence of things that are worthy of praise. Let's dwell on these things. Tonight, three things that we learned. Number one is that what we dwell on will dwell on us. Number two, we learned that what we dwell on delivers fruit. That it's eventually going to produce something in our life. Finally, we learn that what we dwell on determines our victories. Tonight, if you got something, let's give him a great big praise. Hallelujah.